Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a tremendous presence of the Lord I feel here. And you can't say that at all times. You can go anywhere and His presence is there, but His presence doesn't always manifest itself. And I feel a manifestation of His presence and sense it here today. I give tremendous honor to Pastor Nealon and his family, and for him to allow me to be here on Sunday morning. And I count it a tremendous, tremendous privilege and honor that he would trust me enough to be here. And as he said, my son, he comes here on Sunday nights, and man, I'm contemplating, I guess I need to get him an apartment or something. He lives more in DeQuincy than he does with us at home in Lake Charles. But it's a mark of the Christianity, the godliness of your young people. And he fits right in with them and loves them, and they love him. And I want to say he ain't here today. I don't want to embarrass him, but thank you for your love and your young people's love. As an evangelist, you don't always get that. We're kind of like gypsies, per se. We kind of just bounce around from the East Coast to the West Coast, and when you find a place that loves your family as a father, it means the world. And I want to say publicly thank you for loving him. If you got your Bibles, I want to read a passage of Scripture familiar to many. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That word you is plural. He was saying it actually to all of them, or their intent was it was to all of them. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I want to preach or talk to you here this morning. I feel a ministering spirit. I feel the Lord wants to help somebody. Can God count on you? Can God count on you? Let's lift our hands one more time and just love Him here today. Just tell Him how good He is. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your people. And I thank you for your word. I ask you right now, let your word go forth with the clarity and understanding. Let there be a revelation in this house for somebody today that you're challenging and calling them to a specific place. I ask you in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. Life has a way of changing on us quickly. Life has a way of what we seemingly think is just going to keep this same course. It has a way of throwing a curveball to us. Where you thought everything would just stay the same. You didn't calculate a turn of events unexpectedly. You got it all figured out. I've lived for God long enough that I just know He's done it this way before. I know He's going to do it this way again. But yet, inevitably, that curveball will come that you didn't expect. And you're looking at God now, trying to look at all the broken pieces of faith that you had and trying to put together this little image, this piece, I guess you could say, of my faith in God again. You see, God understands that life's going to throw these things at you that you don't have the answer to. And if you and I today could just get a glimpse, God's already prepared you for what you're facing. You might not be able to see it right now because you're in the midst of grief or disappointment or frustration, or maybe you're just angry. I've been there. Had a conversation just last night. I went through a car wreck years ago and my body was mangled. Took a year and a half to recover, and I was at a point where I couldn't take it no more, and the pain was excruciating in my body. I called the doc, said, "I need help. I need you to do something. I can't take this no more." And he said, "There's nothing I can do. You're just going to have to go through it." And when I hung up that phone, that was back in the day before we had mobiles. It was one of them wall phones. And I slammed it into the wall. And I went into the next room, and I just had me an angry fit. I know that don't happen to all y'all folk. Y'all got it all together. But I just lost my temper. And I kicked the chairs, and I beat the wall, and I just hit everything I could, hollered and screamed. I thank God for an honest man of God. I got upset. My grandpa's out in the deal, and when I went in the room, he's holding the paper. And when I came out, I just come out and I just looked at him. He had that paper down and he just looked at me because he knew something had just happened. You see, I didn't know it, but God had already prepared me to go through whatever I was going through. He just needed to know, can I count on you not to totally give up? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to drop the ball. You're going to get frustrated and upset. But that don't mean God throw you. Don't mean he just discounts everything life. People are going to let you down. This is where Peter was. This is where Peter was. Peter was the one right there by Jesus the whole way. It even starts before Peter even comes to the scene. John 1, Andrew. Andrew was the one that got the revelation of who Jesus was before Peter ever got it. Andrew was the one that when he was there, he ran to Jesus. Got the revelation. Goes back home to Peter and says, "Peter, you got to come with me. We have found the Christ, the Messiah." He got the revelation of who Jesus was. And Peter is still kind of taking care of fish. See, God was already putting things together. Now, Andrew got a revelation, but you don't ever find nowhere else in the scripture that Andrew did anything with the revelation. See, God's looking for people in this end time hour. Can I count on you to be at the right place at the right time and express faith at the right time? It don't have to be perfect faith. It don't have to be impeccable faith. It just needs to be a faith that, hey, I might not have it all together today, but I've met God and I know God will bring me through. I know God will help me in whatever situation I'm facing. Andrew was absent in his affirmation. God was counting on him to bring him out, but yet Andrew wasn't there. Peter took the revelation now. Hey, there's something about this Jesus that's different. This is the preparation that went into Peter's life. This is the moment that Peter was being built for what was coming down the road, because there was a sifting to Peter's faith that was coming, that if God didn't prepare Peter for it in the beginning, Peter wouldn't have been able to make it in the end. See, and what somebody needs to understand, the enemy may be sifting your faith today. You thought everything was going to work out in your mind a certain way, and it's doing totally the opposite of what you thought was going to take place. God hasn't changed. People change. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever faith it took for you to come out of the situation 30 years ago, that same faith will get you out of your dilemma today and bring you into a greater revelation of who God is. Folks, if we're never increasing in our revelation of who God is, we are stagnant Christians. God's not looking for stagnation. He's looking for people that were ever increasing in their revelation and understanding of what God can do. Folks, we're facing an hour now. People don't have the answer to the problems they're facing. They go through hours of counseling, hours of rehabilitation, hours and hours of all of these things, and still come up and it's still the same. But the answer is not
that it doesn't work. The answer is God knows where they are, and he's looking for somebody that can confess that to them. Here's Peter now with an understanding, but it was so small. It was Andrew's testimony. It wasn't Peter's. It shows you the progressive work of how God is trying to bring us to a greater understanding of who God is. And then Matthew 16 comes, and Jesus decides, I need to put another piece into Peter's faith. I need him now to affirm something to me. He turns to all his disciples and says, who do men say that I am? He broadcast it like a seed across, like today in a congregation. The seed is just cast. Whom do men say that I am? And quickly, their response, well, some say you're this and some say you're that. There was always a differing of opinion. There's always going to be somebody with an opinion. There's always going to be somebody that's going to have an opinion of what you need to do and what I need to do and what we need to. But really, what does really matter? The only thing that should matter is, what does God say? What's his opinion about me? What's he saying about my situation? God, am I conducting myself pleasing unto you? And if I'm conducting it pleasing unto you, that's all that should matter. Public opinion's powerful. It causes many men to crumble in the midst of many women, many families. Public opinion has caused much bankruptcy. Trying to keep up with some elusive dream, the American dream. And he turns to them all and says, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. He said, I know what everybody else thinks about me, but what do you think? See, because God, he likes it congregationally. But really what he says to me and you is, I need to know, who do you say that I am? Because when it comes to the end, it ain't going to matter what he said. It's going to be mattering what God said. It's not going to matter what she said. It's going to be, what did God say? What can you say here today back to him in affirmation? I don't know what Bobby's doing. I don't know what Josue's doing. But I know what me asks for me and my house. We will serve God. We will please God in the midst of a culture that says, I can't live for God in this hour. You can live for God if your mind is made up. He said, who do you say? And all of the 12 disciples, here's my question I pose to somebody today. Where was Andrew? Andrew, you started this ruckus. Where are you at, Andrew? You started this whole Jesus is something. And Andrew is nowhere to be found. And Peter rises up and says, thou art the Christ. He stepped out with what someone else had told him about Jesus. This thing didn't start because of you and me. It started because somebody came to us and told us about what God could do. It started because somebody came and said, listen, you might be in the middle of the darkest hour. You may be in drug addiction. You may be in alcohol addiction. You may be on the verge of a divorce. And somebody told us that Jesus could work it out. If we just put our faith in him and our trust in him and repent, God can work it out if we just repent. And because somebody else, and today God's looking in this congregation of people saying, can I count on you to act upon something that someone else got you to this point for? Can you act upon it? Peter was the only one that stood and said, thou art the Christ. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't give this revelation to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter just went from the natural to the supernatural. I don't know about you, but I need to go from the natural to the supernatural, because I'm facing situations. Man can't fix this. A judge can't fix this. A doctor can't fix this. A counselor can't fix this. My pastor can't fix this. But if I can get in touch with God, there'll be a supernatural heavenly visitation by Jesus himself that'll change my situation. It'll change it. See, and Peter caught that revelation. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't give this to you. You didn't get this because you, I didn't go to seminary, but you didn't get this because you got it in a seminary. You didn't get this because you made hours of peanut brittle. Now, y'all know nothing about all that. I mean, don't make me bring up the flannel boards. You taught flannel boards since Moby Dick was a minnow. They didn't because of that. God's going to help you. God's going to do it because of your faith in Him. Because you realize God's on my side. And if I put my trust in Him, if I align myself with Him, God's going to bring me through. And now Peter's got something different. He's got a revelation. He's got a revelation of who God is. Who He is, what He is, and what He can do. Let me tell you what, the enemy's afraid of somebody that knows who God is. The enemy's afraid of somebody that realizes He ain't just a Rabbi Jesus. He ain't just another great preacher, but He's the mighty God in Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. He didn't get that from man or from the Torah. He got that because Jesus said, Simon Barjona, you're not going to be this way anymore. You're fixing to be a rock. I'm fixing to build my church upon that revelation that you're about to get. I'm about to take everything. You see, there's something coming down the pike, Peter. You're going to preach a message in Acts. And I'm going to build everything on what you preach. And I can't have a vacillating preacher. I need to have a man that's going to be a man. And stand against the adverse in the midst of everything saying you need to cave. And God's looking for people in this hour. Can you stand in the midst of the adverse? Can you stand in the midst of situations that everything is telling you to just throw in the towel, give up, quit, and cave in? And God's help trying to help somebody here today. You don't have to cave in. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to throw in your faith on God. You don't have to throw in your towel on that mare. You don't have to throw in your towel on those sons and daughters. If God put the seed in them at 3 and 4 and 5 years old, God will bring that son and daughter back home. Can God count on you now to be the tow line and the bridge until they come back? And Peter now is armed. He got the revelation. But now the battle starts. See, this is what I'm trying to help through the Holy Ghost, somebody to see. You're prepared for this. God prepared you before them people did what they did. God prepared you before whatever decision they made that affected you in such an adverse way. God had already prepared you to be able to handle it. See, Peter had it all figured out. See, because now I got a revelation. And like a good person, Peter was, he got a revelation of who God is, who Jesus was and is, that He was the Creator manifested in the flesh. Father in creation, Son in regeneration, or redemption, and Holy Ghost. He got the full revelation of it in one moment. So now, like a good man he was, here's Jesus start talking about all these kingdoms. I'm coming and I'm making a kingdom. In Peter's mind, he's thinking, I am the man. Come on, folks, hang with me this morning. I'm the man. I got the revelation. I got it in the bag. Nobody else got it but me. Y'all missed the classroom. Y'all were there, but you were asleep. But I'm the man. I got the revelation that none of you had the guts to stand up for. You think he kind of felt a little cocky? I think he did. He had a little wind in his sails. See, because now Jesus is going to do a kingdom, and surely, and then to make it even a little bit more, Jesus says, hey, boys, I need James and John. We're going up to the mountain. And he let old Pete come in too. And now Peter's saying, really? I'm for sure in. I'm the inner circle. Jesus is taking us up somewhere where he ain't taking nobody else. I'm special. And when this kingdom comes, like you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to be your right-hand man and everything. See, in his mind, he thought he was coming for a kingdom, and it was going to be armies, and everything was going to be great, and Peter was going to be some high potentate calling the shots. We want to call the shots so bad, but God has a way of just shutting us down. Oh, y'all better hope I don't work on all this, because I'm feeling stuff left and right. I'm wanting to go about 90 miles an hour here this morning. Peter's wanting to call the shots. Now watch. Everything's figured out in Peter's mind. Kingdom's coming. I'm going to be right there with him. And watch what happens. Jesus is in the garden. And old Pete missed this one. He falls asleep. One lesson he missed, because he was asleep at a critical hour. And when he wakes up to his whole world crumbling. Guards in the garden, and they're coming to take Jesus. And what does Peter do? When everything he thought should have happened, would have happened, but didn't happen. What did Peter do? Watch me now. I'm about done. I'm about done with the message. Matter of fact, musicians, y'all come. Y'all just kind of stand there, warm your fingers, grease them. Do whatever y'all do as musicians. Just get ready. But if you miss anything, you don't miss what I'm about to tell you. Peter pulls a sword. Brother Nealon, I've been there. I had it all figured out. I had the plan. I just knew. I mean, I banked everything I had. This is how God was called. I fasted my days. I prayed my days. I sold out. It would be almost like I don't invest. I ain't got no money too. But it would be almost be like taking all my money and putting it on Apple. Come on, you with me? It's a sure thing, right? Apple ain't going down. So they think. I put everything I had, Brother Nealon. And then in that moment, I forgot he had prepared me for this curve in the road that I wasn't expecting. See, some of you, you had a divorce that you didn't expect. You had a kid that just went way out in left field and you didn't expect it. It wasn't part of your course. Can I just help you? Maybe you were so tired from raising that kid that in that moment you might have fallen asleep. Does it mean, though, God just wrote everything off because you had a weak moment? But watch Peter's response, which is just like ours, Brother Nealon. When God didn't do what I thought he was going to do, I pulled a sword. And watch what happens. He cut the ear off of the high servant, Malchus. And when God don't do what you want to do, watch what we do. I get angry. Oh, I know y'all don't get angry. Y'all got halos. I get angry. Because I did everything. I put everything I had on this one. I ain't betting on a horse, but I put everything on. And she didn't come through. And now I'm looking at Peter, and I got angry. And here's what we do, Brother Nealon. Because God don't do what I thought he should do. I cut the ear off of some innocent bystander. Watch me. Hey, you know what? That preacher, Brother Nealon, he's always preaching faith and trying to get us all hoorahed. You know what? I don't think it takes all that. Whoa. And I just cut off his ear from the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. Because God didn't do what I thought. And now I'm angry Because man, is there anybody here? I'm tired of wrong getting by. I'm tired of the wrongs not being made right when I've professed right all of my life. So I get angry and I cut the ear off. Sometimes God's not going to let everything happen like you think it should. Sometimes God's not going to let everything come together. Ministries sometimes change. Families change. Kids change. Life changes. Listen, I'm an 80-year-old man in a 46-year-old body. I don't want to go back to the days of tents and sawdust revivals, but I'd like to go back to the days where we just kind of sit around the house and talk as a family and not everybody's on a phone looking up social media. But we're so inundated with the change, I can get mad and say, oh, bless God. Or I can look at it and go, okay, God, you prepared us for this. You prepared us for this hour. God, I need my faith now. I can't do what Peter did because I know you prepared me. Oh, it gets better for Peter. Jesus already told him, Peter, Satan is going to desire you. That in a weak moment, he's desiring for you to give up. That's why I said he has sifted. He's looking at you. That's a plural word. In other words, he's looking at everybody. But Peter, you got a revelation that the other boys ain't got yet. You got something that they don't have yet. You're very unique to the kingdom of God. I'm telling somebody in this building, you're unique to the kingdom of God. And the enemy's made you believe you're not valuable. You've got no worth. And you can't do nothing in the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you, you've got value. You've got worth in the kingdom of God. God's prepared you for this. Can he count on you to keep your faith? Simon's desiring you. And then he says, but when you came through, when thou art converted, strengthen. The word converted means when you come out, when you return. In other words, Jesus saw him going in, and God already knew you coming out. See, God already sees you coming out of the conflict and crisis that you're in right now. Your family crisis, your church crisis, your work crisis, your all these things we struggle. He said, when you come out, return. He said, I need you to strengthen them. He said, because you're coming out, you're just going to have a lapse. But when you come out, I need you to strengthen them. And Peter follows him at a distance. Now here's where we are. Last point. What do we do? Jesus is gone, and Peter follows at a distance. And they said, you're one of those. And watch what Peter says. I know not the man. What happened to the Son of God? Revelation, Matthew 16. The end, he's just man. In other words, everything I've put my stock in, it's like what we do here. This is just church. This is just church. It's just a building. It don't matter. It's just a Sunday morning. Oh, and well, Brother Needham pulled a sneaky on me today. He changed it up, man. I'm not used to change. Woo! My roast is burning right now. I'm just messed up. It's changing. Folks, change is going to come. Doesn't mean the doctrine changes. The doctrine stays the same. And Peter says, I know not the man. And now Peter's in conflict. Do I follow the revelation I got in Matthew 16? Or do I just fall back and just kind of go through the motions and just be another man? He went back to fishing, folks. He went back to fishing. But somewhere in that, Jesus came back and said, Peter, do you love me? Will you feed my sheep? Will you feed? Peter, I'm going to ask you again, do you love me? Yeah, yeah. He asked him a third time, I need you to feed my lambs. Peter, you had a lapse. I let you have it. But from this point on, it can't happen again. I need you to be the man that I can count on, because I'm fixing to build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail, and it's going to be based on the message I put you to preach. DeQuincy, God's asking you to do something. And he's asking you, can I count on you in this end time hour? Can we? We've all had a lapse. We've all had things and things we've done. Stand with me. We've all said things, done things, went direction in places that maybe I really didn't want to go. But today, on this 10th of February, 2019, Sunday morning, I feel the Holy Ghost. Not planned, unexpected service. Folks, I've been in revival for the last 16 months. And on this Sunday, the Lord said, hey, here we go. Can God count on you in this end time hour? Peter, you got a message to preach. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everything's counting on you, Peter, to preach the message that's going to open the door for the church to come in. Can I count on you? This altar call this morning is going to be a little different. I'd normally ask and just say, because I believe there needs to be affirmation individually by individuals like Peter, thou art the Christ. But today, I want you to grab the hand to the person next to you. It's all family here today. You're here because you felt a connection in this building to people, something in this place. It's God you're feeling. But I want you to grab that hand, and I want us all to come together to the front today. Because there's a challenge in the Holy Ghost God is issuing to this church and individuals in this church. People, whether you're visiting today, you're part of this. You can't say, well, I'm just visiting today. No, you're part of something. God's cluing you in to an eternal picture here. He's done pulled a veil back and opened something that ain't never been opened before for somebody. And he's letting you see something you've never seen before. You're prepared for this. You're afraid. Well, I don't know if I make a move right now. What's my family going to say? What's my other, my aunt, my uncle, my mama, my daddy? What are they going to say if I make a move today into what you're telling me God has for me? It's okay. God's counting on you. He prepared you for this. It's not that hard. Just take the step. If God's revealing it to you supernaturally, I see something different. Take the step. You got that hand? Lift it to heaven now. And I want us here today all to open our hearts. For some, it may be repentance. God, forgive me. Repentance is turning. God, I want to turn. I want to turn from some things. God, I'm walking away from some old dead things, and I want to walk into something new. Life more abundantly. That's only through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it starts with repentance. For some, it's repentance. For some, it's just you putting your faith now in proper perspective. God never left me. He never forsook me. God's never walked away. Come on, lift your voices right now. Lift your voices right now. Lift your voices and begin to call on his name.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.